ele.
Nós já sei
que me. Ele ele we put in place last week in the committee. So because of this placement of this child. So thanks to the Western Cape education.
we ask you and believing that as we have asked you today, this carnage in Gauteng has come to an end. Because Lord, from today, we are involving you. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, our Savior, we thank you, Lord, and we believe it is done. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you very much. Are there any apologies?
Thank you, Jefferson. Good morning. I've received some apologies from Honorable Malachi, who was able to join us this morning. And we have received an apology from
and we are not seeing the presence of the Honorable Mashari Kachuno. I believe there's an apology from the minister. Yeah, I think.
Yes, there is an apology from the minister. I think the secretary has communicated. There is an apology from the minister. And Honorable Mashavela shared. What present does this fulfillment in the
ministry?
Apology for Honorable Shalabana.
Okay. Honorable Shalabana will join us later. On the agenda, honourable members, we've got the third quarterly report, 2019-2020, and we've got the analysis, implication, and impact of the president's sauna, which was done in February 2020. So I see we're going to start with the sauna analysis, as well as on the projector. And then we will consider and adopt the minutes of the previous meeting. Can we adopt the agenda? Mm-hmm. Honorable Adwan?
I move to adopt the agenda.
Any seconder? Honorable Cooper?
I know. I'll take that. Okay.
Thank you very much, honorable members. Yeah, let me hand over to you to lead the development of the presentation. I take it that we'll get both presentations and then we'll interrogate both presentations. Thank you.
Thank you, Chair. I'm there with the full team from Big Education and teaching promised that when we present issues like reports, quarterly reports, and all the reports, he is here. He is here in person. And Chair, our presentations are long. Our requests are very long, both of them. Our request is here to talk to the presentation, especially on the issues that we did not achieve. I think that's where they must spend time explaining what it is that we're going to do, but for those that are actually, because if we just take the presentations as they are, members might not have enough time to interpret the report, but because these two presentations, as it is indicated that we start with the analysis implication and impact of the present sauna, and we started with the previous sauna, which will make members understand that all the SONA from 6 years back, the department did implement all the issues that the president has said. So I'm with the DG here. He's the one that's leading the team. He will delegate among the team members who is going to do which presentation. Thank you, Chief. Over to you, DG.
Thank you, DM, Honorable Chair, Honorable Members.
Indeed, Honorable Chair, we'll just read the punchline. We will assume that the detailed information in the presentation has been met. Starting with the analysis of SONA, we're starting from 2014 and linking it to 2019 and then focus on last week's SONA, 2020. The presentation is broken down into three parts. The first part is just to give the context, and Dr. Taylor will just fly over that because it's just the context really, and then move quickly on the second part, which links the different zonas, and go over that quickly, but focus much more on the 2019 zona and link it to the 2020 zona because that is significant. More policy pronouncements were made in 2019 in February and in June. February of the outgoing administration and June of the incoming administration, and then reflect on the progress as contained in the 2020 zone. That's the zone I shared. Let me also indicate that the second presentation will be on the third quarter report. The third quarter report would usually cover the parts that we reflect on. The first part will be essentially just predetermined objectives, which would include the overview of the highlights, and then the second part would look at the financials, and the last part would be giving the committee progress on the implementation of the audit action plan. The first part will be done by Ms. Noka Deniwe, and then the last part will be done by the CFO with the financials, including progress on the action plan. If you allow, Chair, I'm going to request Dr. Stephen Taylor to just spend about 15 minutes or so in the analysis of the SONA, and then we'll move to the next one.
Can you introduce
new faces? New faces. Okay, I think all faces are familiar. Let me try and check the new faces. Dr. Taylor, you know, is the director of research in the department. And then Dr. Maboya, you know, is the DDG for curriculum policy planning. Policy monitoring support, and next to Dr. Maboya is Mrs. Simone Gaya. I've introduced Mrs. Simone Gaya in the past as the DVG who's taken over the position that used to be occupied by Mrs. Falesa Kyobeka, who retired end of November 2019. Mrs. Gaya is the DVG responsible for provincial coordination and district support. Dr. Whittle, you know, I nearly introduced him as Mr. Comprehensive Sexuality Education. He's become popular, you know, as that in broader society and in the public. But he's the branch head for social cohesion branch. Mr. Kuno is the branch head for the administration branch, is also the chief financial officer. Advocate Nisa is the head of legal services in the department, the chief director, responsible for legal services, reporting to the branch head of administration. Next to Advocate Nisa is Mr. SG Padayaki, responsible for the planning branch, the exam resides within that branch. Budget planning, monitoring and support also resides within that branch. And then, who else? I thought Ms. Luca Deliver, you know, the chief director for strategic planning. Also thought Mrs. Mola, you know, Mola, I'm not sure whether it means money, but you write it the same. Ms. Mola is the director for internal studies.
diagram shows the 27 goals in the department's effective action plan. The most recent one was the action plan to 2019. There was also prior to that action plan to 2014. And there's currently a draft action plan which is just being finalized to 2024. And in the action plan, there's 27 goals, again, very much aligned to the priorities identified elsewhere. The goals can be grouped into two types of goals, or two categories. Goals 1 to 13 deal with the improvement of learning outcomes that are being targeted, and then goals 14 to 27 are about what we need to do to reach those outcomes. Things like improving teacher development, improving access to LTSM, improving district functionality, etc. So the SONA really is, in some ways, sets the direction for all these other plans, and in other ways, also is a reflection of the plans that have already been collaboratively produced in the sector. So that's the end of the first section on the context and significance of the SONA. The next section, as I mentioned, more for noting, there are a number of slides dealing with analysis of progress against previous SONAs. For instance, each one starts with the pronouncement that was given. It looks at how they're aligned to other plans, and then discusses some of the progress made against those pronouncements. So I won't go through them because I think there are many of them, many SONAs, each with their own announcements. So I'm going to skip all the way maybe to this one, slide 30 on the 2019 progress. This one is perhaps more up to date. The department is still monitoring progress against implementation on the pronouncements made in both of last year's SONAs. So the next few slides from slide 30 are quite current reports on progress against the commitments that were made during the course of last year. And it might be worth mentioning out of interest while we're on this slide that one of the things mentioned in SONA last year was concern around the 500,000 children out of school who have disabilities. First point to note is that statistic was actually based on an incorrect report, but it has received a lot of attention in the media. Analysis actually shows that it's more around 89,000 children with disabilities in the age range of 5 to 18 out of school. So we're trying to correct the numbers around that statistic. Then these slides, again, I'm not going to go through them in great detail, but they do report on progress against the big pronouncements last year, what we're doing around illiterate reading, for instance, in these two slides. Then what's happening around coding and robotics, you'll see that features again very strongly in 2020, so it's worth skipping to the progress and updates against the 2020 SONA for that one, as well as textbooks. Technology, ECD, you'll see a lot of continuity between last year's SONA and this year's SONA. We also saw last year the goal given by the president in the SONA of every 10-year-old being able to read for meaning, as well as last year a strategic goal was around more consistent measurement of progress in grades 3, 6, and 9. Which is related to the introduction of the General Education Certificate. Fourth Industrial Revolution, there's also a lot of continuity with this year's SONA around the introduction of subjects like coding and robotics. So that takes us then to the main focus for today, which is the analysis of the February SONA. First section is around the pronouncements on ECD. And I'm not going to dwell on this because I know that there's a separate item for this committee really looking in much more detail at the early childhood development sector, the migration shift that is happening. So there are four slides giving some progress on that, the envisaged timeframes, and then two slides just on clarifying certain things that the migration is not. But I do believe this is an item that is serving in more detail. So you are welcome to ask about it, but I think it will be covered in more detail elsewhere. So So then, looking at the next pronouncement in the SONA, that we're making progress with the introduction of the three-stream curriculum model, building a shift in focus towards more vocational and technical education. Here, some of the progress to report on is that the focus in the department is working closely with economic hubs in provinces, identifying schools that can be turned into technical high schools. We have an MOU in place now with Mercita to train learners with interest in vocational fields. 10 schools have already been selected to have workshops installed to simulate industry-like environments. Forward South Africa also has established a partnership with us, and there are other partnerships also in place or being negotiated, which I don't have time to get into in this presentation. Other things being done around the introduction of the three-stream model is how this links to the introduction of a general education certificate. It's part of the overall plan for pathways in the system. In this respect, a concept document has been developed and submitted to Maruski for registration. Further conceptual work still needs to be done on the three-stream model and linking to the assessment modalities that have been planned. We need to develop partnerships on acquiring a digital solution to assessment as well. Piloting is planned for later this year, though, in introducing the GDC. Then the next pronouncement was around the plan to issue tablet computers to students. The President mentioned that this is underway. Already in the last year or so, we provided over 4,000 mainstream schools with some kinds of ICT equipment. The focus has also been on prioritizing special needs schools with ICT equipment from network operators. There was a roundtable held late last year hosted by the minister. We've also provided 150 schools with e-libraries. Some considerations as we expand the use of ICT in our schools. It's important to understand the different ways in which ICTs can strengthen an education system. Firstly, there's ICTs for administration. So that's things like better functioning of school management systems like SSMs, better use of information data at national and provincial and even district level. Then you could look at ICT for professional development of teachers. For example, recently we have been piloting forms of virtual coaching as a way to support teachers. And then finally, there's also ICTs for learning, so actually using ICTs for children in classrooms to help them learn. And then even within that, you could separate ICTs for technology subjects, like computer applications technology, versus using ICTs to support other subjects, whether it's maths or language subjects. And so focusing on things like technology subjects is maybe one important additional focus other than just the provision of the hardware, because those are where the specific skills are developed, which lead to particular industry involvement later on and further study paths. It's also worth noting findings from international evidence on things like one device per child interventions, the importance of those kinds of interventions being embedded in an integrated learning program. Usually when the focus is just on providing the hardware, for instance, learning outcomes have not improved. Right, then looking at the pronouncements around reading, the President mentioned that the early grade reading programs are gathering momentum. We have developed an integrated reading sector plan, driven mainly through the primary school reading intervention program. Within this, there's several strands of sub-programs. Firstly, the early grade reading assessment. This is an assessment tool provided to teachers to use in their own assessment of learners. Already more than 8,000 quintile 1 to 3 schools are implementing this tool, and plans are in place to distribute the tool to another 6,000 schools this year. There's also monitoring going on in schools, in a selection of schools where implementation of the EDU tool is happening. A second sub-program within the PSRRP is the early grade reading study. This is really about doing the research to inform wider scale implementation, and quite a bit of evidence has already been produced specifically around the effectiveness of lesson plans aligned to the curriculum, additional reading materials, especially in the African languages, and then professional support to teachers. So evidence has been developed there and steps are in place to enable scale up. Then the National Reading Coalition and the Read to Lead campaign are other sub-strands in the PSRRP aimed at rallying all the stakeholders in the sector and inspiring interest and passion for reading amongst learners, parents, teachers and businesses. Then there's the announcement about introducing coding and robotics. And the president mentioned specifically in grades R to 3 and 200 schools, so that pilot is a specific pilot, but this fits into the broader process of curriculum development for grades R to 9 for coding and robotics, which has already made a lot of progress. There'll be a strong focus on using the content in technology subjects as a way for delivering the curriculum. But there's work to be done to ensure continuity and articulation across the curriculum in grades R to 9. There's also a plan to start implementing coding and robotics curriculum in grades 7 to 9 in 1,000 schools. This slide shows a few more items of progress on both the robotics and coding curriculum, things that are being done at the different grades. For example, introducing artificial intelligence and augmented reality into grade 6 up and upwards curriculum coding. A lot of matters still need to be finalized around coding and robotics. Lesson plans need to be developed, teacher guides, teacher training, manuals, and delivering teacher training. Right, then the next announcement is about South African Sign Language, introducing this as a home language, some progress in particular in NSC outcomes that have been achieved in the last 2 years, the numbers of schools and children writing and achieving at different level through the South African Sign Language. And then also work that's been done on LPSN development. Obviously there are some challenges in this area, like a limited number of service providers and experts to do the work around LPSN for South African Sign Languages. If we compare this latest SONA to previous SONAs, what we're seeing is quite a lot of continuity in terms of the big focus areas that are getting highlighted. Particular ECD has remained and even grown in the emphasis that it has been receiving through the SONA. Competencies and skills for a changing world has remained similarly emphasized. In the past, maybe there was more emphasis on infrastructure and NSC results and maybe pro-poor policies as a way of framing the interventions. Currently, maybe more attention going to coding and robotics and early learning opportunities, in particular reading and numeracy, but overall quite a lot of consistency there. And that takes us to the end of the presentation. I think what is clear is that certainly the department is taking seriously all the announcements and is putting in place steps to fast-track implementation. And we recommend that the portfolio committee note this analysis and discuss its implications for the next 5 years. Thank you very much, Honourable Chair.
Thank you very much. I must just indicate that there are a lot of overlaps, not only in the SONAS, but from the SONAS to the third quarter report. And Mrs. Lucas, you were with us to the third quarter report.
Thank you. So the first thing you reported is just against the featuring objective in the annual plan for 2019-20. It's in three parts now. As requested, we go very quickly over the highlights. So very quickly, the three parts. The first part being performance indicators and target financial reports that affect CFO, but also then to look at some of the work that was done in 2019-20 year, but reflecting on the findings of the audit of the 2018-19 financial and performance information. So some of the information we presented is looking at what was done to remediate some of the issues raised, but also how to strengthen institutional capacity in the process of both of those. So really, it's against the AFP, I've spoken about that, you report on expenditure also in the third quarter, but also the implementation of the audit action plan 2018-19 in the current year. So initially then, the main highlights were around the general education and participate and the opportunities for articulation post-schooling, but also for certifying like grade 9 competencies at the beginning level. So it's not an existing statement today, but just being able to provide multiple pathways as indicators in the T for learners in terms of the different subject offerings and programs that they can be finished. Really, the whole idea is to ensure that there's a full spectrum of offerings for academic to take part in vocational and opportunities for skills training in trades, especially in those trades where there have been very low levels of participation in the country, the labor market. So in this quarter, the Basic Education Minister handed over sanitation facilities in the Popo province, launched a ministerial advocacy and mobilization campaign related to school-based gender-based violence and school-related gender-based violence after the presidential call for action for all sectors of government to take active steps in this area. But also, that also was linked to the debate and narrative on comprehensive sexual education that was mentioned earlier in presentation related to polio committee, but also major stakeholder groups about the importance of arming young people, especially in the light of some of the gender-based violence cases in the country. We also had the writing in this quarter of the MSE, the November examinations from October to November, and we will report at the end of quarter four on the results, but also some deeper analysis of those results. Other highlights included the minister guided school assemblies on GBV, the World AIDS Day commemoration, African Spelling Bee participation in Uganda, GBE, and learners from schools around the country. Stakeholder engagement on safety, social, including drug and substance abuse that the minister held in October, and as well as preparation for marking, monitoring and preparation for marking and of the NSC in November to December. So the GPG monitored 113 marking centers across the provinces in the last 2 months of the calendar year 2019. In addition, there were standardization meetings preparing for the work that was to be done around the NSC standardization. And those are pictures of various monitoring and oversight visits. In addition, the DM, the Deputy Minister, presided over the handover ceremony of the school sanitation facilities in KZN, and at that event, various organizations and partners pledged to build sanitation facilities in rural areas, in 100 schools in rural areas. So it's very useful for mobilizing resources, but also for our own efforts at the district. In addition, there is an indigenous Spelling Bee Championship at the University of Edinburgh in November, and already the preparation that the implementation of the African language curriculum in four languages in the Gauteng in Kopan Malanga province participated. Which can Tonga and Fiji and Swati are those African languages. So these programs, there's also very much detail in the presentation around these five programs, which you are aware of. So in terms of program one, we have administration program two, for example, support and monitoring program three, teachers, program four, planning, information and assessment, and program five, education and enrichment services. We have also analyzed for the previous year, the extent of achievement of our indicators for 2018-19 and compared them to the current year 2019-19. And you will see in the next pie chart, which is the extent of achievement, and especially in terms of the red, the extent of non-achievement in 18-19 was 8% and 6% in 2019-20. And we are confident that by first four, the majority of that partial achievement will be coming. But I'll go forward into the detail. So program one really is about personnel administration, personnel management, training on social responsibility, appointment of intervention, and work that we've been doing in terms of bringing the IT systems up to scratch, to ensure that we are efficient in the way that we administer. So there's also work around the legislation, the Basic Education Laws Amendment Bill, which was published in October 2017, call for comment, and we've received more than 5,000 submissions from the General Public and Education Stakeholders. We've also got work that we are doing with the Auditor General to improve the way that we report on claims information. During the preliminary audit, the draft strategic planning plans and annual document plans for 2020-21 were prepared, and various quarterly reports prepared, submitted, and analyzed during this reporting period. We also have entities, state government council, educators, and Somali state. Quarterly reports were also analyzed and feedback sent to the entity, and we also held internal grant reviews to reflect on some of the findings of the audit, but also how we can infuse our annual performance and report with the key priorities in both the NDP and SUNA. We held intergovernmental engagement and fora, and that slide by 19 talks about which ones they are. We also have had the release of the 25-year review in basic education. By 20 now, as well as the work on the reading supplies program that was mentioned earlier. We have training of grade 3 foundation phase teachers, foundation phase subject advisor, and we have had extended work done on the early grade reading study that was also mentioned earlier. All of these really to support both the home language and EFL, the English for traditional language content. Slide 22 looks at the work that we've been doing on the NEPA, which
the ACOC has been never been interested, and we are not in the
same place. So the slide 22 really looks at the monitoring, the NEPA injunction to develop monitoring evaluation policy in provinces, but also throughout the sector, and the engagements we've had between Mpumalanga, Eastern Cape, and Limpopo on building research capacity, monitoring capacity, and evaluation capacity. We had worked on media liaison and national and provincial communication to strengthen our internal but also external communication. We had internal newsletter visitors to the DBC website, almost 1 million visitors 4.4 million hits during the third quarter alone. Various design projects, printing and publishing, ministry messaging, but also media statements, interviews that were granted to different media houses, media platforms on issues relating to people's education. So we are part of the conversation and the narrative. There was engagement in Parliament, also the stakeholder relations and stakeholder activities, both with the Auditor General on audit issues, infrastructure implementing agents, especially in terms of the challenges and blockages around on delivery issues relating to infrastructure provisioning, as well as tracking progress on the CD and EIT projects. So there's quite a lot of work on just unblocking those monitoring and evaluation value chains. And then focus group meetings really just external priorities and infrastructure audit cleanups, as well as with the Department of Telecommunications and Services to discuss the commitment on increased internet connectivity. So quite a lot of work at high level on just ensuring that these things are actually, these priorities are taken seriously in the sector, but also with our partner departments and the partner organizations. So I'm going to go very quickly through this program. One indicator and table, because it doesn't really have a lot of issues. It talks to cases resolved, it talks to invoices paid, and we see that the levels are pretty much what they were before. It's an annual indicator. Program 2 also looks at working on policy support and monitoring. Again, we're looking at the delivery of workbooks and workbooks, printing and delivery of workbooks, resources, ICT resources, which we provided, slide 29, conducting of a roundtable on ICT, resourcing of special schools with licensees, partners, basically to make sure that we can roll out ICT devices, assistive equipment, and connectivity to special schools. That was held in November to then consolidate plans for rollout over the next few years, led by the department. In terms of rural education, we had an interprovincial rural education committee meeting, which was held in November, and since then we have agreement on how provincial education departments are supporting rural school, multi-way teaching, agricultural education, and the rationalization and nature of small and non-viable schools. As part of this, we had actually in this quarter, we had one of the provinces cancelling a monitoring visit, and I'll speak a little bit about that when we get to the table. For program 2, we had also work on the ECD function shift, both the administrative aspects of the function shift, but also the aspects of function shift that relate to our mandate in terms of curriculum, teacher and practitioner preparation, and the leadership of coordination. So those three areas we really worked hard on. We have extension of the ECD practitioner online in-service training program and oversight visits in terms of inclusive education. I spoke a little bit about that work. That's slide 33 gives the detail of the schools that have been identified in Boko, Ekiti, and Free State for initiation of rollout of ICT program. Then the monitoring work on the multi-grade toolkit, early grade reading assessment, general educational training issues and implementation of African languages in IO. We had monitoring of that, and that is really ongoing from previous quarters. We also had the evaluation of the NSC question papers for each of them, for developed and submitted to reflect on really what's going on in terms of the papers, but also to then bring that into the conversation and the analysis after the release of the results. We have various subject specialists participating in standardization, error analysis of the papers themselves, just to get a sense of what's happening in terms of the subject, in terms of enrollment, but history ministerial task team also met and held three meetings with these teachers, but also with police stakeholders in consultation and reporting. We also have the release of the abridged curriculum and assessment policy statements of TAPS, section 4.10-11, which was developed and distributed to all parents. In terms of the second championship program, we had, this was oversubscribed. We had particular targets of the year and they exceeded those targets. But a lot of work was done around just face-to-face monitoring, support, and program provisioning across the sector. We also had LCSM and e-resources delivered to more than 110,000 learners in this period. On slide 37, and I'll go straight to the season, slide 39. I will identify because we have reported on this before. I've identified areas where there are concerns around areas where there are issues that we need to report to the Superior Committee, just in terms of Q3 progress. So slide 45, for instance. I think I have mentioned there was an advocacy campaign visit, monitoring visit that was cancelled due to examination into that three, in relation to the advocacy campaign for rural education. So we had to see if we can make up for that in the fourth quarter. So that was cancelled by the province, rather than that. This really deals with effective supply development and utilization of human resources. We have the provincial IQMS coordinator who monitored 1,700 schools to support them on attendance management. 13,000 educators participated in information sessions on IQMS implementation and general strengthening and support of communities in relation to PMDS. Engagement in school self-evaluation in 6 provinces, and in 50 Malang province distributed school establishment by the 30th. So this was the one province which did not distribute its school provisioning establishment to schools in provision 2020. All 8 provinces did. However, due to delays in consultation with social partners regarding the number of schools declared, we could not finalize after that. We also monitor the number of young and qualified educators who are appointed in posts and TEDs, and we have a preliminary figure covering October 2019 only. We know that that is very low, especially because of how capturing post the exam period, but also post the end of the year. So we are looking forward to reporting back to the Portfolio Committee on the numbers, large increases in those numbers due to capturing requirements. We had 80% of Indian Shafa graduates who were placed at the end of November 2019. It's below the normal trend that we had 90% at the end of November each year. And then we identify these 3 provinces which recorded below average placement and work with them to make sure that is remediated by We had 42 interns enrolled for the BA program in foundation-based teaching in UNISA that are funded through the Save the Children DB internship partnership with district. They graduated and were not experienced. In terms of continuing professional development, we had a roundtable on professional learning communities to improve the way that professional development happens at decentralized levels. We have the NTA adjudication process, this NTA approach, and then we have had LTSM, policy development and innovation, and support provided by the DPE to KZN and Northwest in terms of implementation of the framework, including the training of principals. We are on 54 just looked at foundation phase reading, foundation phase workshop, reading promotion, and just those, all the activities that relate to making reading the cycle and the national program. We also had reading clubs established, school library management and administration, not just reading but also having a way of organizing reading material. Two are very important, and we worked on helping on that. We conducted accounting and economic workshops for teacher development in Limpopo, and based in those programs with teachers attended. I'm going to go straight through the table for program three, particularly focusing on slide 59, the looks at the diagnostic analysis report. So in quarter two, reported that that was red, and the concern around that, and I was remediated that in quarter three, with a lot of work around just getting the content of this report to address issues of policy. We, similarly then on slide 60, we have, if you like, remediated the red that we had reported on in quarter two, and in quarter three, quite comfortably in the green for that quarter. I'm also then going to look at program four, which looks at planning information assessment. It really, under program four, we look at the different course-based assessments in the early grades, the international assessments, in the sixth preparation for some of that work for the CFMEC that has been reported on earlier in the year. We also look at the prep for the national senior certificate, the work that's being done on monitoring, coordination, and provincial support, state of readiness for the writing of the exams, and grant management, and especially in terms of specific conditional grants. And I think the CFO will speak to some of those expenditure items in the presentation. We also have work that was done on the education management information system to track what's happening in the sector, but also what's happening to learners on slide 59, as well as the South African School Administration Management System approved to the SASAM. We also had in this time the implications for the medium term budget for the statement. The analysis was done just as the analysis of the SOMA, the State of the Nation Affairs, was done now. So during November 2019, we obviously identified there was no additional money in the system, certainly not in the sector, and we'd have to then, there will have to be a lot of things that will be reprioritized within the sector, as well as extra money, extra effort to mobilize resources, particularly for priority areas that were identified by President and the national government planning framework. So those are the allocations for 2019 to 2022 years on slide 71. We have various interprovincial and intergovernmental engagements on finance as a result, independent schools workshop, particularly as the issue of independent schools and the quality of independent schools and registration, etc., was a critical issue in the year, as well as guidelines which were approved on the right and responsibility of independent schools by September 2019. Various monitoring visits of financial expenditure and budgets were carried out in that in slide 73, as well as the progress report on rationalization of the number of people. In terms of international relations, study tours and the exchange of expertise was led by the Director General in November, really to engage stakeholders and potential partners to support some South African basic education priorities. It included some provincial department representatives to get an understanding, common understanding of activities for support and to maximize benefits of bilateral agreements with France. There was also work exchange program run for provincial and national department officials for young educators from developing countries like China on the Belt and Road Initiative. Site inspections in support of infrastructure development were held in slide 76, and similarly partnerships in support of early green energy in support for supporting cohesion, as well as strengthening of the work that was done by CEN and on strengthening service capacity of the also had some work, technical work that will be done then on the headcount for remuneration to advise on specific managers, including the remuneration of specific managers. The work on district level planning and implementation support on slide 79, just to bed down and consolidate that in the sector, how we intend to implement the district development model. So all programs are aware of the need to report on district level implementation, district level progress, and all our, as much as possible, will be disaggregating the information that we have on provisioning by district, as an administrative system, becoming to the core, like in our reporting, but also in our planning. Work that we're doing on strengthening provincial and district planning, monitoring, management, and reporting, as well as sector managers roles and responsibilities and capacity. Then there's work on just maintaining the presidential hotline, queries, complaints, calls, resolves, issues related to replacement of certificates are really one of the highest, in terms of highest frequency calls. Around replacing certificates. So a lot of the resolutions, the 100% resolution in the DBE, has contributed to the improvement in customer care. However, there's still some provincial lower than expected resolution rates in some provinces, and we monitor this regularly. Calendar, school readiness 2020, school reopening and activities in this quarter, and NIDU, the National Education Evaluation and Development Unit, was focusing really on issues relating to failure, repetition and dropout, as well as improving foundational skills, numeracy and literacy as in the future area. The EIG and FDD funding will be, and expenditure will be discussed in the later part of this presentation. I'm going to go straight through to the table that we want to follow, especially table 92, that really speaks to the issues that we are finding in the community society in relation to infrastructure provisioning and in relation to especially the non-compliance. And our efforts to demand legal action from from those organizations, but also our efforts to ensure that non-performing items are not allocated to additional projects, so just to manage the provision and process. Similarly, in terms of planning issues, we have the same concerns around the delivery and provisioning. And the same relationship to around 4 in general in this quarter. We had the monitoring that we expect to do, and we had 24 ratings, we had all the other indicators really on track for delivery for the year, and we're expecting that in quarter 4 we will be approaching positive for all of them. Program 5, it looks like educational enrichment services as indicated earlier, health promotion, psychosocial support, and a lot of the detail of what is happening in that program is mentioned by 100 women, well aged information, information, who monitors the oversight of in relation to learners with your care and support to learning, as well as psychosocial support related to teenage pregnancy. We also have the school monitoring business in the Northwest and training of learning associations and taking the standard district on guidelines for schools providing school nutrition program. We have monitoring of schools in addition to what provinces do. The provinces are implementing this program. In addition to that, we monitor schools, we monitor how the system works for implementing the training at the provincial level and provide support on a regular basis to the administration. We have district monitoring for the safety framework and bullying prevention in 4 provinces and meetings with the South African Football Association. Outline the algorithm, the information of schools. We other various other school and enrichment in education activities, as I mentioned earlier, including the ICET workshop in preparation in November 2019. So the table then on slide 105 just indicates that we've brought back, if you like, not to say, we've monitored more schools in quarter 3. And we did in quarter 2 to cover the shortfall in the previous quarter, in quarter 3. And we also had, we had a particular target for the quarter, but we did not reckon for people staying away, particularly in the school holidays, in September holidays. And therefore, we had lower than expected enrollment in those things around the month of September, instead of when we normally do it in October due to the school calendar. So we didn't see quite the control, the number drop in participation in that particular quarter. And we take that into account in the future, future planning, but also try to, in the future quarters, throw that back in terms of participation. I think that's the end of the presentation.
They put so much effort in the job they do. So Don't let that last selection on. I was talking about it, 24 meter. And 82% of that is broken down into conditional transfers to political teams as well as other transfers. The remainder of that, which is 18%, is compensation of employees like remnants, the moderators, the amount of funds, office accommodation, exclusive funds, departmental operations, as well as departmental projects. At the end of the quarter, we have spent 19.2 billion, national 19.2 billion, of which 16 billion was conditional grants, and those conditional grants, out of the 16 billion, we have spent 15 billion on conditional grants, 116 million on transfers to public entities, other transfers of 1.3 billion, and the remainder being compensation of employees, we have spent 350 million, 19.9 million. As you can see, the slide there shows that at the project program level, the level of expenditure is not an issue. So we will deal with the issues when it gets to lower levels than the program. Just to mention, on the 95% on program 3, the reason for the 95% expenditure is because we had already transferred from the Rushaka boundaries, which is normally transferred at the beginning of the year. So that's why the expenditure is huge. And then when we get to economic classification, the only area where we not doing well is underpayments for capital assets, which is your ACD and FAFE. And I'll leave this part of the explanation to later when the head of infrastructure speaks, because he would be able to speak better to that. So basically, the other area where we're not spending as we should is on second chance, but even the second chance expenditure that we are struggling with is not the core expenditure. It's basically the support part of a second chance, meaning the staff that we need to appoint into run second chance. We have not appointed them with that we're supposed to appoint, so it's basically the support part. It's not the real second chance expenditure, because if you look at the figures for the real core part of the second chance, we spend as we should. So Chair, I'll skip all these areas, because basically the main area where we're struggling with expenditures is basically our infrastructure part. I'll move on to Chair to the slides that deal with the progress on the Public Action Plan. Then I will deal with other issues, but these questions will be arise. On the Public Action Plan, we got a qualification in the previous financial year, but almost all the issues that we got qualified for were all infrastructure. It was issues of immovable tangible assets. It was issues of commitment. It was issues of contingent liabilities. Issues of approvals and payables not recognized. Issues of material irregularities, as well as irregular future and wasteful expenditure. We're showing the progress. We've been showing progress. I'm saying we've given progress every quarter. So I'll just go to the progress on the that's shown on the three slides, which is on the third quarter. And then on slide, I think slide 127, we're saying the on the first item, which is the total implementing agent fees and disbursements have been removed. And so far, we've removed a total of just under 550 million. And on the next slide, which is 128, we're saying the capital assets and expenditure values have been adjusted to exclude implementation fees and disbursements. And this has been reported as such in the quarter three interim financial statements. On the next one, which is slide 129, we're saying the modified cash system, which is MCS, has changed so far to exclude commitments for operational expenditure. Anyway, disbursements have been removed from capital assets and expenditure and is classified as an operational expense in accordance with the AG instructions that is in the quarter three their financials. On the next slide, we basically it's commitment still, we say disbursement commitments have been adjusted to be on even cost and in line with the authorized contract percentage. Whether disbursements have already been incurred and accounted for, the amount requiring the expenditure has been raised at the commitment level. All estimated amounts will be deducted from proven trends and follow patterns of expenditure on sale. On slide 131, where we're dealing contingent liabilities, we say that that issue that the AG raised has since been resolved in compliance with the modified cash standard. On slide 132, we say that issue has been resolved, disclosure notes have been addressed and are compliant with the modified cash standard. All schedules for both accruals and payables include the receipt date of invoices and supported by stamped source document. On slide 133, we say the DG has signed a letter addressed to the Adopter School Foundation with a claim for irregular expenditure for 7.3 million. We are still engaging the LGT for the recovery of those funds. On slide 134, under irregular expenditure confirmed, investigations on previous cases have been completed. 85% of confirmed irregular expenditure has been investigated, and that includes the previous years and as well as the year 2018-19. Consequence management has already been implemented in some previous and 2018-19 cases. In pure out of 20 cases, cautionary warning and final ruling letters have been issued. And implementing agents as well have been issued with letters so that they can account for cases where they were found to be one. We've investigated that 3 out of 13 possibly the medical checking. In terms of governance, to sort out the service providers that assist with this investigation, have been approved and the procurement process for the service provider is underway. On food service for expenditure, previous cases have been investigated and the 2018-19 cases are under investigation. Possible food service for expenditure, 70% has been investigated and the committee, that is the investigations committee, the internal investigations committee, and internal audit, is in the process of verifying a professional assessment report conducted at school, at schools to assess the condition. On slide 135, we say that the indicator that was raised by the AG in the 2018-19 year has since been amended. It's no more an effector in the current in the year under review or in the current financial year. The branch has now included clear targets that are measurable for all indicators. On slide 136, all issues that were highlighted in the previous audit have been resolved. The annual performance plan indicator for 2020 have changed, that is for 2019-20, for the year that that is under consideration. And new reporting requirements have been complied with. The next slide, we say monthly reports from mentors have been amended to include numbers of sessions as well as number of official mentors. The reports are verified against attendance registers by DPE officials. The 2018-19 audit findings were received and workshopped. The technical indicator TID descriptions and processes have been developed and designed. Thanks.
Okay, thank you very much, DM. Honorable members have been so, I think they were in a struggle to participate in the presentation. So let's give the honorable members the opportunity to interact. Honorable Professor, Honorable Madawal, Honorable King, Honorable Bari Mashesi, Honorable Mashabela, Honorable Kemiwayo, Honorable. Do you want to go? Okay, that's okay. Let's go this way. In that order.
Honorable Chairperson, thank you very much for this opportunity. And I for Councillor Soya Kwaya Banshi for you and DNPA. And the product of country education. No, you can't avoid it. I'm from there. Okay, so you know we had Bantu education. And I was taught during that time, who am I then? A product of it. Thank you. Chairperson, let us welcome and appreciate the marathon presentation that was presented by the colleagues. I've got 2 points to raise, but for starters, let me start right here by saying the slight joke you made when the chief financial CFO, yeah. No, these are the clients of when the CFO was about to present, indirectly struck me. And then how? you see, you were right, and then though you nearly maybe get lost in the house, it is possible to lead on something whilst your back needs more attention than what you are trying to focus on. Ever since the beginning of this year and the beginning of our term this year, I've been sitting in this portfolio committee, having more than enough trouble in my house, and I pretended as if nothing is happening. From the 13th of January,
let's get to the point.
No, I'm going there because I want to at the end come and say thank you. You see, that's why I said it touched me. It is possible to sit here and thinking everything is okay when it is not. Okay, because you are so much in a hurry, Chairperson. Let me cut the long story short and say, everybody and everyone, thank you for the role and the effort you played in kind. The boy is finally placed with effect from yesterday. He had more than 1 month stay at home, despite all this. But in any case, I'm just raising this because sometimes it will come back to haunt us as a committee. I can't talk about matters of education when my house is not in order, and you say I'm asking. Thank you very much. Thank you for the role you played.
Hey, it means the fish are not swimming, so he's thanking the fish for swimming.
Whatever the deputy minister may say, but thank you, everybody. I can participate to fully so. My boy is at school as I speak. Program 2. Chairperson, on program 2. On program 2. A reference is made here on the concurrency that is underway between the Department of Basic Education and the DST, the Department of Social Development. You see, when we discuss here, sometimes the purpose of our discussion is to assist we do not fall into unexpected tragedy of failing to plan and implement as per the expectation. I'm just saying the first point under this concurrency underway, on this concurrency underway, is the issue of the infrastructure alignment. For certain, the report on program 2 indicates, and when you interpret it, it shows you that it is possible there are those who will be moved from where they are currently housed as early child development and be housed in the normal schools. So, and there are those who may be migrated but still remain where they are currently. This is my understanding. However, the plea that I will make is that on the issue of infrastructure, let us not land into the unnecessary backlog whereby we migrate them, physically speaking, Chairperson, into the normal schools falling under the Department of Basic Education, and only to find out that we increase the current baggage. The baggage whereby we are having highly crowded, overcrowded classrooms, and you make matters worse. I'm trying to say, during this concurrency, as and when we plan, with the intention of implementing, let's get about against that. Number 2, under the same auspices, is the issue of the retraining of ECD practitioners so that they meet the NQF level 4 for them to be graduated from being the practitioners of ECD into
the normal teachers, if not educators at that level. One is saying, when this is being done, there is need that we must guard against. I know for certain, when you retrain people, it's not always possible that everybody will graduate and be qualified. There are those who may fall short and fail to meet this highly needed requirement. But I have also got a question on that to say, is this not going to assist what will add on the pain we are currently having, the pain of unemployment, where others will fall short? Definitely during migration, not everybody will make it. It is likely to have some handicaps here and there. The last point, Chairperson, it would be on program three. The program three, the placement of the UNSA Lushak graduates. The report, it's indicating something unsavory. The situation whereby, I think it's in Mpumalanga, it's on page 36, slide number 5, for those of you who can make reference there. It indicates that there are provinces who were not or adequately able to absorb the trained and graduated UNSA Lushaka bursary holders. Now my question is, what could be the challenge? Is it because maybe the whole issue of demand and supply was not well planned? Or is it because after graduating, when those teachers came back, they found an eroded ground? Because in the main, the UNSA Lushaka's purpose is to address the scarce skills subjects. And the possibility is there that you may train these teachers. But at the same time, if not well aware, at the same time you find that there are principals and communities which are busy destroying those bases where the teachers, after having graduated, should come and teach. Can we kindly look into that if indeed we have got a true and objective planning for the education of our children? Thank you very much.
Chair, thank you for the opportunity and for the presentation. I would just like to make a comment to the DG for his attention first, and that is to raise my dismay with the fact that the committee went to Limpopo, the MEC wasn't there, but also staff members, an acting HOD and a CFO, which I think is crucial to be present when oversight is done by the DBE Portfolio Committee. Whilst we were there, they were attending a political meeting, which I don't think is acceptable, and I think it should be taken up by the Minister and others.
And then called you to me.
Yes, indeed, I have a right to me. And then, Chairperson, I also in general want to remark on SONA 2020, because not a lot was said about basic education in SONA. In fact, there wasn't even a paragraph about it. I think that we went back 6 years. I actually want to remind us that in 2012, there was a court case, so I can actually read from it. But then the then president in 2014 undertook to deliver those deals. In fact, in 2012, a court order instructed the Eastern Cape Education Department to give desks, etc., etc. There were about 200,000 that were affected due to the lack of furniture. And then in 2014, the president highlighted the importance of education need to provide resources, and that committed in 2014 SONA that there will be a desk for every learner in the Eastern Cape by mid-August of 2014. And I think we all know that didn't happen. I would also like, which is not in the presentation under the 2019 SONA, is the SAFE project was launched, and I know the President is involved with that, and private donors and the Gulf State, etc. We can just maybe have some clarity on how did it advance since that announcement. I know the Minister, when she did with some toilets at the end of last year, made a remark, but I don't think that's an updated stat that we can see. Chair, then in general, I think we all are glad and wishful and hopeful for robotics and coding. But the experts on education in this country reminds us, and I just attended a symposium on Sunday again, is that it's good, but you must be able to read. Now, here's my question. Amnesty International recently released a report on a survey they did in the Eastern Cape, Limpopo, as the poorest provinces, as well as Gauteng, one of the wealthiest provinces. And it states that more than three quarters of the children aged 9 cannot read with meaning. In Limpopo, that figure is as high as 91%, and the Eastern Cape as high as 85%. So, you know, I don't want to criticize presentations because those are the facts. It's the, between the lines, how are we going to correct it? How are we going to make sure we achieve better to get to robotics and coding successfully at the end of the day? And with that, if you look at ICT, I think there were lots of promises made, and I would really would like to know, I just saw this past week, another school in Gauteng, I think, was broken into, and I don't know how many equipment was stolen. What are the figures on what have we lost? Are there insurance for it? The other issue is, in Limpopo we have three ICT schools. The one was a special needs school in Lekolali, the other one was near Boyne, and then there was a school up a mountain near a new mine being built. Brilliant, state of the art. But there were no connection possibility at the stage when that school was built. So if we built a computer lab and safety for that, etc., what is the use of it if there isn't connectivity? And Chairperson, I can go on a lot. I think the biggest challenge and disappointment for me, and here's my ACIDI file since 2013, is ACIDI and the achievement. Since the beginning, we were huge numbers every year short of our goals that we set. How are we going to fix it and get updated? Number one, the challenges is the budget was cut on infrastructure, I suppose, on different levels. I understand that. It's not acceptable, though, if education is a high priority. But our implementing agent is challenging. It's really challenging. And we have to revisit that. And gee, the norms and standards, as it is in the budgets of all provinces by the law, prescribed is not happening in all provinces, and I'm not sure what are we doing about it, how enforceable it is, and how we're going to make provision for that. And then the budget. I see here on the slide we have transferred X amount to NISFAS for the training of teachers. What are the exact amounts that we had to pay over to those funds from our budget? Thank you.
Good morning, everyone, and once again, thanks for the presentation. I'm first going to start with the SONA presentation. On slide 7, it spoke about the 5 goals that need to be achieved by 2030. But if you look at it, it says 2 million more young people will be in employment. We've seen the unemployment rate increase every year. Our schools will have better educational outcomes. Every 10-year-old will be able to read for meaning. Realistically speaking, this is not happening. And violent crimes will be halved. Violence at schools has been escalating tremendously. But when we consider all of this, we need to realistically re-look I think the governing party needs to really look at the NDP goals. How far are they in achieving this? And what realistically has been achieved in the education sector over the past 10 years, and what do they need to do? I know a report came out on what needs to be done to achieve a lot of things, but we need to cognitively look and see if the NDP goals is realistic and will it be achieved. Then also on slide 9, you talk about the support of the culture, health, and the police services needs to be rolled in for social cohesion, health, and safety. You've missed out on one key player, social development. Mm-hmm. Social development is a key player in ensuring that most of these kids beneath are addressed on a welfare basis, but also those are social workers that deal with the psyche of a child's mind. And I feel that the department is doing injustice to ignore social development as a key role play. And I would like the department to actually include them in this regard as well. Slide 52. It talks about strengthening of technology for grade 7 and 9 curriculum through the introduction of robotics and coding in 1,000 schools is also underway. That is a challenge for me. Like my previous sister said, that at the end of the day, connectivity is already a problem. Kids can't read with meaning. But the most challenging thing that I found by visiting some of the skill schools, especially in the Eastern Cape, you find skilled people, but they don't have an education degree. And they are then just seen as support staff. That is a challenge when states can't even give them proper recognition that they have an engineering certificate that can come in and train these kids on robotics. If we can't even get that basic right, we are going to struggle to get proper skilled educators in the system, because you can have a full laboratory, but it doesn't mean you've got the proper skill to be in that facility. So that is the one thing that needs to be addressed, because you go to a special needs school, and you find that in most cases, that is what's happening. And then we want to say we are looking forward to the next generation. I'm going to go on to the quarter report. One thing that I must admit, I'm glad to see the bailable features again in your report, and that it will be brought back for us to consider, because I do feel that home education should be an alternative form of education that needs to be looked at. So when we are going to discuss that, how that will be taken into consideration. Okay, the learners with severe to profound intellectual disability, the grant. Last year the president mentioned it will be over a 3-year period. I just need to find out if it will go beyond the 3-year period of 2021, if the grant will go beyond that period. Or will it just stop because of funding that might not be there or other challenges? Then also, scholar transport is always a challenge, and I know last quarter we had to prepare for school readiness that is under review, but the challenge that you would find that with scholar transport, not having a proper funding model is where we are faced with. And the main problem of that is that you find the various provinces, even though there is a norms and standards set out for scholar transport, it might not be well set out because various provinces are using either the Department of Education or the Department of Transport. So I would just like to know, have you been in discussion regarding looking at a proper scholar transport funding grant? Only under the domain of basic education for all provinces. Then on slide 75 of the quarterly report, international relations and multilateral affairs. I see mention is being made of young educators from developing countries, Chinese languages for government officials from developing countries, education managers from Belt and Road Initiative countries, and apply Chinese for officials from African countries. So that basically tells me we are focusing only on the BRICS countries, China being one of them, in this regard. And what is the purpose of this? What do you want to achieve from all of this? Is it to increase the Chinese language ability in South Africa, in South African schools? Or what is the purpose for all of this? Because to me, if you talk about developing countries and you speak Chinese language, you start to raise some eerie questions. Okay. Then your district, I heard the president in Estonia also spoke about the district model, linking it with municipalities. In some provinces, like in the Western Cape, in Gauteng, it's a good model, it might work. But you go to the Eastern Cape where all district municipalities are falling apart, they can't manage their own finances. How do you see the link between municipalities getting involved with education? That is what I would like to know. You say you want to avoid duplicity, but I do think duplicity will eventually occur. And at some stage, proper funding will not be allocated to these schools, especially to ETDC schools, which I know most municipalities like to focus on. Thank you once again for the presentation.
Thank you, Chair, and thank you to the department for the presentation. I just want to maybe just go back to what the member just spoke about, you know, the Chinese language. I think it's very important that, you know, especially if you can be able to speak Mandarin, it's very important because then we can be able to navigate into the economic space because, as we all know, that China is becoming quickly the fastest growing economy, and I think it's actually a good advantage. I think that's basically my understanding of Chinese
But one of the things to be lacking is
special
education. And that's what I'm saying. I mean, she's an expert, so she should have the right language. Okay. But what I want to find out is that, you know, when we talk about accessibility in access to learners, the department will always pride itself to say we are about 90% or 98% in terms of accessibility. We have been able to include a lot of learners into our system, but then exclude the learners with special needs, because we don't know, as the gentleman mentioned earlier, and said, like, you know, we're thinking that it's about 89,000 learners who are supposed to be, you know, included on special needs, but we actually don't have the right figures for that, which is a concern. Because if we say that we're able to have accessibility of 98 or whatever, I don't remember the percentage, but it's quite high, but then we are definitely not considering disabled learners, because I haven't seen any report to say this is where we are in terms of disabled learners ensuring that they are accessing education. And also the data is not accurate. If you're talking about a report that I've taken 1.5 million learners disabled, and then you're talking about 89,000, looks like there's a problem with the data. And also when the results of metric go out, we are not told how many learners of special needs wrote the exam. We are just told of how many passed the exam. So I don't know, maybe I missed that information. No, it's okay, you can clarify. That's why I would like you to get clarity from that. And also, there's also another issue that I had parents calling me of retired learners who failed to retire, but they are being sent away from schools. So if we talk about inclusion, we have to consider those learners as well, because they have to be afforded that opportunity. I had a school in the Eastern Cape, apparently, that we were doing quite often. Learners were included, like they basically they registered in the school, but then later they were taken off the role of the school to say, you know, they have to go to another school or whatever. I'm not sure about the differences of anything in terms of, you know, ensuring that the learners are also included. The other issue that I also have is, you know, I've checked the regulation in terms of how many learners can a high school have, and it's about 1,100 learners. The maximum is 1,100 or 1,200. We cannot exceed that. Is there a regulation on that? Okay, I would ask, because you'll find a lot of schools that will say, like, you know, we have reached our capacity, like, you know, we cannot take learners anymore. That is a challenge, I understand that. But then you'll find that, like, there's an influx. The problem that we have now, we have an influx of learners who are moving to urban areas. And everybody wants to be in that school, because we are unable to ensure that we improve the schools that we have. So there's that issue. Like, I want my child to go to a particular school because I know in that particular school that my child will pass their matric exams, they will be able to be supported and all that. Is there a way of expanding those schools? If there is a way of doing that, because we, like in Gauteng, I don't think there is enough land to continuously build schools. But is there a way, I'm just asking now as a lame person to say, is there a way to really expand a particular school to say that, like, let's maximize the school to about 2,000 learners in the school? Can we actually basically consider such things like that? Thank you.
Okay. Thank you, Honorable Chair. I just want to raise your comments.
But honestly, we have to
on the
we
issue
have to
of
just have to hold on now and
is in
the members.
Mm-hmm.
Honorable Chair, with all due respect.
Honorable Chair, the ECD is currently being implemented autonomously by policy.
BCD practitioners currently are currently receiving slavery wages without any benefit. For example, the ECT practitioners in Gauteng and slightly more than those in Limpopo. I think there is a need for the department to address this issue. And the second issue is the issue of ICT equipment, like laptops that has been installed in schools in other provinces. There is no security in schools to ensure that this ICT equipment are safe. We have seen incidents of theft of ICT equipment, especially in Gauteng. So, is there any concrete plan at the moment to ensure that the safety of this ICT equipment? So, the third issue, Honourable Chair, is the issue of mobile classrooms. Mobile classrooms have become permanent structures for learning and teaching. No immediate plans to build permanent structures for the department. I think one other thing which I want to know, are those mobile classrooms bought or rented? And then if the issue of sanitation in rural schools is not immediately addressed, we are going to have incidents of learners drowning in toilets. And the NGOs like Equal Education will be taking you to court because of incompetence and failure to deliver services to the people. Thank you.
Thank you, Chair. My first point is going to be on the Minister's Council of Education Ministers' six priorities, but I'm going to concentrate on point D, where they talk about the urgent implementation of 2 years of ECDs before grade one and migration of 0 to 4 year olds from social development to basic education. On the same note of those priorities, but concentrating first on this one, comparing it with the information on slide 44 and slide 45, which obviously is a contradiction, because in these two slides you are talking about the what not is migration. Migration is not, it does not mean that all these kids will be going to school, and the fact that the ECD practitioners will be employed, and most of all the funding of this program. So my question is, if this is one of the six priorities of the Council of Education Ministers, and yet it handled negatively in the following slide, then what do we say about the funding and the guarantee that the ECD practitioners or educators will be employed, and that all these learners will be accommodated in schools? The second one is DE, where they say one of them is complete, the term complete, and integrated infrastructure development plan. My argument is, if we look under a program four, the summary, the table 5, program 4, third quarter performance, we have a negative indicator of the responsible agent. In 1, 2, 3, there's a comment, under comments, they say the responsible implementing agents did not perform according to their quarterly plan. The same applies to the number of schools where they are supposed to be provided with sanitary facilities through this ACIDIC. The responsible implementing agents did not perform according to their plan. And the same applies to a number of schools provided with water, and water is very important. The comment still runs through the same, where these agents are not performing accordingly. My question would be, there is a need for the department, definitely, to re-look at the model of appointing implementing agents. It doesn't help that you still continue functioning with the same agents that do not perform. So my question would be, are you ready to change this agent, and because they are not in the actual functioning, so that the whatever the result could be must be able to answer to the Council of Education Ministers' priorities. Because if we don't do that, the next time we'll be asking on something that hasn't been done on a certain program. So can I have some indication on that? And the second one is based on the challenges and mitigatory measures of a program that is slide 118, where the challenge is about the payment for financial assets. And here it is stated, the over expenditure is for theft, right? And losses that occur in the department, e.g. when an official is involved in the accident, then it's not his problem, and which means the department are supposed to meet the person over. So, but what about the theft? You haven't said anything about that. Who's stealing what, where, when? Who is stealing what, where, when? And what is the department doing about this theft aspect? Is it money that is being stolen? Because that is under the financial thing. And if money is being stolen, what are you doing about those officials? I mean, here we're talking about officials. What are you doing about the officials who are stealing cards and money, if there is cards of the department that are being stolen, or men, or any other thing that belongs to the department? Thank you.
Thank you very much for the presentations that we received. Honourable members have raised a number of questions, and some of them I see the presentation of the ECD that will follow next week, according to the schedule that we have. And I think this report, especially the quarterly report, will also empower the committee to interact with the presentation. I would not want to deal with it now, Chairperson, because we'll wait for the turn of the overall presentation. And also the presentation on the oversight that we visited in Mpopa province. We requested that the committee we have that report and discuss it in this committee, so we will also deal with that when we get the comprehensive report of our oversight report. But I would like to just acknowledge that there's a lot of good work that has been done. It is also recorded that it was for the first time since check. We celebrated.
It has never happened. Yeah, and also, DG, you know, when we celebrated in the country the Teachers Awards, I think also that when it comes as an achievement and also the progress that we are going somewhere as a country. And also it gives hope that African National Congress was not wrong when it was set up in those goals, the national development standards. We'll reach them in this state, we're not safe, because we see that there's progress. And it needs all of us in the country to make sure that Chair, you know, I need your protection.
You are protected.
I never made any noise when people other members were speaking, so can I be protected, please? Thank you. And I would also like to welcome the district model that the president has pronounced on. I think it's going to resolve many challenges that we have when we have consolidated departments working together just to solve, you know, the challenges that our communities are faced with at the local government sphere. And on basic education, I think also it will work for us at SDM. You know, when you as a department to request to build a school and need land and the municipality also to go and beg and, you know, knock on their doors just to get land to build a school. So I think it will also, you know, assist us when we work in that collective manner. When it comes to the quarterly report, I think there's also an improvement when you compare to the last third quarter report of 2018-19 financial year, with performance indicators that were increased and also the percentage that has been increased. So, my concern is whether we're going to some of the indicators were indicated that it will be they will be taken to the fourth quarter. So yeah, I want to maybe be assured that are we going to get an improved auditor general's outcome? You know, whether it's going to go up or it's going to go down. Can you maybe just get just a reflection on that? Whether we're going up, and I've also noticed that some of the the action plan. Actually, I wanted to speak about the action plan that I've seen that some of them have been implemented. So there's also that assurance that maybe we'll get any good outcome. I think maybe for now, let me pause there because some of the concern, I think I would wait for those presentations to come through in due time. Thank you, Chair.
Okay, thank you very much, Honourable Members. My few issues that I would want to raise with the department is the on solar specific, can the department just tell us what is your contribution to create employment in the country, especially for young people, both graduates and non-graduates. The interventions that you are doing with the department. The second issue is on your highlights, you raise an issue of better pay, and I'm raising it from the fact that I was not a member of the last administration here, I was not in this committee. So it unfolded in 2017. And the highlights are saying that you consulted 5,000 Now what happens in between? Where are we now? And how did we make sure that you consulted thoroughly and you involved the people? Because it's a matter that eventually we have to come to our house in Parliament. So one is just a parliamentary journey. The other issue, DM and DG, is the your program tool. Your annual target is 11, and you've only achieved that program 4. But I must say, it has been my observation that program 2, I don't know whether it's missing things that are not there. Can you just take us through what are the issues of program 2? Reaching an achieved four targets out of 11. If we are realistic, are we going to be able to achieve the targets in only one quarter, which is now the fourth quarter? But the department in quarter under review, which is the third quarter, has has achieved 71% in terms of finances, how you use them, which is 4% less than what you would normally expect. And I take it that it has something to do with issues of equity. And now that we've got Mr. Asidi, probably tell us what do you think must happen. I know you've shared your plans with us, but I think it should be something continuous so that you see whether there is progress or not. Because we need to, as we have said, that we think the issues of acidity are the issues that makes the department not necessarily change the audit opinion. So for that reason, that's why we are raising them. The last issue on the highlights again, DG, you are raising here that you received a donation of 50 million from the Delegation from the organization. And that was specific for rural sanitation. Now can we just be told which rural provinces have you concentrated on, and your donors, because you don't mention them, which donors are standing
and that's it from my side. I'll hand over to you and then again to okay. Thank you so much. We appreciate the question from members. The only slide challenge we presented the SONA. In fact, the committee requested 2020 SONA analysis. Then we started from 2014. Then number two, we are here in the department to present the fourth quarter report. The third quarter. It's the fourth quarter in the academic year, you know.
Yes.
But it's the third quarter in terms of financial year. Then, this committee approved the APP of the department and the quarterly report that we are going to. First quarter, we're going to report on this. This is what we're going to do. These are the targets for it. On the APP that has been approved by this committee. Second quarter, this is what we are going to report on. Third quarter. But I appreciate that education has so many things. That's why when we are here, members will move outside the scope of the work that we are here for. And what I'm speaking to is the absolute truth. Absolute truth.
true, but we are here for the third quarter report and what the committee has requested on the SONA. But I'm not running away from us taking responsibility and accountability on the things which members have about education. So sometimes we may not have brought the right people to respond on the right questions. Yes, we have the DG here, who is the right person. But the DG is not specific to specific programs. We might not have some tangible, final answers to members. Because had we known that this was going to be asked, we could have brought the relevant director to be here. But I'm not saying that we are not going to give responses. We have the team that is here. We are going to provide responses. And some of the responses we provided even last week when the fifth members asked to be here. We're here and we responded. But we will sound like a broken record. My question was relevant because though we did respond, but the question was how then, because there's no land, you said there's no land, you said so. What then are you going to do? Is there a room for the expansion of schools? That is the question. We really appreciate that. And it opens even our minds more to say what then can we do, because we have norms for schools here. Then can we look back at the norms and that what is it that we must do, working with provinces and districts, because we must provide education to all learners in South Africa. Then we cannot run away from that. What do appreciate also Honorable Chenjiwayo, who was right on point on order four and never deviated. Thank you very much. I want to give to DG and the team. I will close in the end. DG.
Thank you, Honorable Deputy Minister, Honorable Chair, and Honorable Members of the Committee. Chair, I'm just going to try and cover as reasonable number of questions or response, provide reasonable responses as possible. Then colleagues will help me. Let me start with Honorable Mulatsen. Well, the Deputy Minister said you can appreciate when the fish is swimming, but I think I know the feeling because virtually every day Honorable Mulatsenka would update me of the frustration and the situation he was going through. I can only assume his son was going through. And so I'm happy that the sun has been placed, but I'm not happy that all children have been placed. I'm not happy because not all children have been placed. There are many children that are not placed, especially in the Western Cape. And I'll probably talk about that.
So your connection got you down?
I suppose it's a combination of many things, in pressure and frustration and many other things, plus luck and destiny. Program 2, Honorable Murata, concurrent between DBE and DNC, infrastructure alignment, will ensure that happens. That's why the plan has taken that into account and will explain where in some instances the danger, Deputy Minister, is that sometimes we become too elaborate in our explanation that we create confusion. I will concede to that. But sometimes when you become too detailed in your explanation, you create confusion, but there's no confusion. But because your detail is such that for some people create contradictions and confusion. So we take that into account. And that's why we are saying, well, priorities around which are and which are. which are your extra 2 years. And the rest, the intention is to keep them within community centers, but regulate the environment and make sure that the facilities where the learners are located are conducive for them. I think that's what we are trying to do. Retraining, in fact, Honorable Rosetta, the minimum norms for teacher education is NQF level 6, which is a diploma, not even NQF level 4. NQF level 4 is grade 12, is lower. But the view of the minister and deputy minister was that when we take over in all these community centers, we want to start by saying the minimum for any practitioner, because many of them don't even have grade 12. We want to say the minimum must be NQF level 4, which is grade 12. But over time, we take it to what the policy says. The policy says NQF level 6 all the time. And then the placement of Funza Lushaka graduates, indeed, you are right. It could be that in certain instances we are unable to place as many graduates as possible. There's a new phenomenon which has now emerged. For all these years, Funza Lushaka graduates have been a priority by all, from national up to local level. But now, the Mwelis who pay for their children to go and complete and come back, as qualified teachers are saying, what are you saying about my child who I had to educate through selling my entire livestock? And you are saying my child is not your priority, but rather somebody who, through my tax, paid for this graduates that you are saying are the priority. I hope I'm making sense. So it's a new phenomenon that is emerging. Provinces are trying to juxtapose that as best as they can. Funza as priority, on the one hand, pressure from communities that are saying, I had to give up all that I had to make sure that I pay for the education of my child. It's now qualified, you can't say my child is not a priority. So those are local dynamics that are beginning to turn out, which sort of reduces the pain within which we are able to bring the food of the Shaka graduate. And I'm sure Dr. Rito can add more to that, but I thought I must just also highlight it. And then Honorable Van der Waals, the Deputy Minister is here, and I'm sure the Deputy Minister will help to discuss your experience in Limpopo with the minister and the MEC. There's a Council of Education ministers coming next week on the 5th of March. So they could use that opportunity just to find time to discuss with the MEC to deal with the concerns that you have raised. And I'm sure the Deputy Minister would also talk to other members of the committee. With respect, Honorable Chair, I thought the President was giving a progress in the 2020 SONA about what he announced in 2019 SONA. I thought, especially the June, because which introduced the new administration. As I said, the February 2019 was just saying goodbye to the 6th administration. And then the June one was to say, this is what we are going to focus on for the next 5 years. What Dr. Taylor went through as the 7 priorities of government and goals and outcomes was for, I suppose, the current administration. I think the president, I mean, thinking about 200 schools that are going to introduce coding and robotics, and also talking about ECD, which is what I picked up, but also saying in terms of the provision of tablets, this work is underway. And I think at the appropriate time, Chair, if you asked us to come, and I think this would have, might have even happened, to give you a report on ICT, it will show you know, how much work has happened in some of these areas. And then, Honorable van der Walt, about the court case and decision in the Eastern Cape in 2012. I remember that vividly. We had to appoint a team led by a retired legal expert. It was advocate, a country member who is now retired, brought in by the former deputy minister and worked with the court to implement that decision of providing school furniture in the Eastern Cape. If you go and check from the records of the court, what we expected to do wasn't done. Former Deputy Minister Surti was supervising that project, and it was done at that time. And I'm just correcting the notion that says nothing happened. Indeed, it was, I mean, the project was implemented. If you don't implement and the court, I mean, the plan becomes part of the court order, then you are in trouble. The minister wouldn't be here, and I'm sure if I also become part of those who are on the list of those the litigation is targeting, I wouldn't be here, I would be in jail. So my sense is that there was a plan, we followed the plan of the court, and I'm sure we can check it back and we will update you at the right time. The SAFE program, you are absolutely right. Since the SAFE program was launched, Mr. van der Westhuizen will give you the exact figure as to what did we get from the private sector as part of the private sector, public-private, partnership. What did we get from the education infrastructure grant in terms of eradicating e-classrooms? What did we get from ASIDI? And what did we get, or what are we doing in terms of the SAFE? Safe to say, in terms of the SAFE program, for the current financial year coming to an end, 700 million has been allocated, and 606 schools have been identified, and many of those schools have already been allocated to implementing agents. 1 billion is allocated for the next financial year, and 1.3 billion is allocated for the second outer year of the MTEF. Let me remind the committee, and I think we did bring this to your attention, this allocation was only confirmed in February 2019. If we all remember that to plan in infrastructure you need at least 18 months for a proper plan, you'll appreciate some of the challenges that we are going through. But you couldn't say to National Treasury, because you came late with the money, no, we don't want it, take it back. We accepted it, but you said, remember, you should have confirmed this allocation much earlier. So that's what is allocated for the same program. And I take your reminder, Honorable van der Walt, to say coding and robotics is fine, but foundational skills of reading as part of literacy and numeracy remain important. I don't understand it to be saying wait with coding and robotics until these learners are able to read with understanding. But I take your reminder there, and I appreciate it. Now, Deputy Minister, Amnesty International, I've seen this report. In fact, we asked for a detailed report of this when we invited. We were not given the detailed report. We were told that it was going to be launched, and then after that, we'll give a detailed report. I would be more worried if pills, which will be administered only in 2021, which is next year, is confirming what Amnesty International is saying. I don't know who these guys are. The last time I checked, where people were dealing with peace, security, and all of those things all over. How they specialize in matters education, I'm very cautious, but I'm not dismissing what they have found, but I'm very cautious. They are not experts in my view, in these areas, and the way I hear them speaking also, they were interviewed over the weekend with Mr. Mshanga. I was listening to them, I was supposed to go there. They don't come across as experts in this area. So when you are not an expert in an area where I operate, I take what you are saying with a pinch of salt. Because anyone can say anything. But if experts are really raising issues, I really listen to them. But I'm not dismissing them. But I need to triangulate what they are saying with experts. I just want to plead, Deputy Minister, that you must just be a little patient. Spirit is coming next year. Teams happened in 2019, we're getting the results in the fourth quarter of this year. Let's just follow this thing and get the reports from the experts and then take it from there. ICT equipment that are lost, we are equally concerned. We are gravely concerned about the investment that taxpayers are making this equipment which gets stolen. And truth be told is that if we approach National Treasury in the last, I think, if I'm not mistaken, Mr. Padayaki, in the last 10 by 10, we did raise this thing of the security, especially prioritizing the schools that are your red flags for starters. But we made a presentation, they listened to us, and we raised it as a school safety issue, and we haven't had anything tangible from them in terms of helping us with the requisite financial resources to provide security in schools. It is a concern. It is a matter of great concern given to us. Honorable Van der Waals, unfortunately, and I'm sure I've said this before, government does not insure assets because it is not constitutional. Government does not insure assets. I don't know of any, I work in a provincial administration, I'm now at national, the policy is still the same. Government does not insure assets because it's not constitutional. So as a result of that, what gets lost, who will have to find money to replace it because it's not insured. New schools that are built without connectivity, sometimes we get caught between the horns of a dilemma. That you go to a community and say, we can't provide you a school facility because there's no connectivity here. Sometimes you have to yield to the pressure of the community, especially if the community agrees that we're giving wage for the community. But we put up the infrastructure, we put bread. Sometimes putting the facility there helps to put pressure on the Department of Telecommunication and Postal Services to roll out broadband so that schools are connected. So I agree that ideally we should be rolling out school facilities where there's broadband connectivity, and then you just, I don't know what, whether they still call it 1 mile connectivity, where you just connect, link it to the broadband. I think that's what it used to be called. Progress on ACIDI, David will give the figures, but I can tell you that ACIDI is overheating. The likelihood is that we are going to exceed our allocation of this financial year. That's the update that I received from David and the team. And you'll understand why. We were lagging behind the project, so there's a build-up. Old project plus the new, so there's a build-up. So he'll give you the exact figures. Norms and standards are not being met. Yes, I think there's an assessment report which can be made available, which looks at all the 9 provinces to look at the progress that we have made so far. Exact amount paid over, I'm not sure whether these were transfers, I missed this one, I didn't get it properly as Honorable Van der Waals was speaking, but I thought Mr. Kuno would assist, I think it was about transfers to our CD and entities where we are transferring to, such as the NCC and so on. I wasn't sure, but I'm sure if there's a need, to clarify that, we more than willing to provide that. Honorable King, slide 7, unemployment is increasing. Yes, indeed. But as we all know, in most instances, due to factors that we don't have control over, but we do make our contribution to reducing unemployment. For instance, interns and fixed-term contracts that we are employing young people in. For instance, we give you an analysis now and again, teachers who are 30 years and younger who are entering the system is part of our contribution of, I think Chair also asked about the same question, towards reducing unemployment. And many other projects in the department, including infrastructure and others, where we are trying to attract as many unemployed, particularly young people as possible. The issue of violence, as I said in the past, Honorable King, I'm not sure whether the reporting has become more vigilant or whether violence has become rampant in schools. I don't think I get that impression. I think with the advent of technology, almost everyone has the leverage to capture anything that happens, and they are able to share it and it becomes viral. I haven't come across any report, empirical exercise that says violence in our schools is unprecedented. In fact, violence in this country, if you compare internationally, we are seen as a very modest country in terms of violence in schools. And I'm sure Mr. Wiki can say more about that because it seems to be international violence. And then social welfare, bring social welfare into the puzzle that we have reviewed on matters of social welfare and other legal matters. I agree with you, Honorable King. Slide 52, skilled people who are not recognized. To the best of my recollection, the last engagement that we had with Faith was that we must create a special category of professionals in education who do not necessarily have a professional qualification in education and their shorter. Particularly when we presented the 3-3 model, focus schools, they've assured us that they've created. We said, when we visited Kenya last year, we learned that they recruit from ICT industry. They come and work with people with a professional certificate. Although they don't have a professional certificate, they team together and they provide skills that you don't find in the profession of education. And they gave us an assurance that it's a special category that has now created for people who do not necessarily have a professional certificate in professional qualification in education. Home education as an alternative. I thought our policies and legislation do provide for that. I'm not, it's a provision in our legislation. It's treated more or less as your independent education or private school. It's there in our legislation. But I thought what we should be thinking of are modalities such as virtual schools, particularly for your middle class. In many countries, I mean, they talk about online schools, virtual schools, and so on, which will help to obviate some of the challenges of infrastructure that we are facing. We have many requests from Gauteng at the moment that we are dealing with. I'm working with the Tamaroya team, working with the Gauteng Department of Education, to allow for virtual schools. There are people whose view is that the time it takes for their children to leave home to go to school, they would have used that time to learn a lot. So instead of doing that, they want us to provide for virtual schools, for online schools, and we have such consulting that are coming up. So I think it's something that is worth considering, The grant for learners with intellectual severe and profound intellectual disability. I think we're in the third or the fourth year. The cut-off 3 years, we have not been warned about that from anyone, particularly Treasury. Our sense is that some of these grants leave as long as we need them. Many of them, I mean, the NST grant, the HIV and AIDS grants have been there for as long as I can remember. EIG and the ACV, of course, has got the time frame to be. So there is no time frame in short that we've been given from this grant. Leonard Transport, Deputy Minister, here I think what we are battling with is meat business one. Need business one. And a classical example is that Mweli is located in an area that is a school, but because I'm not happy with this school, I decide that my children must go and attend somewhere and then the government must provide transport for that. Strictly speaking, government is not supposed to do that. Government is supposed to fund need and not choices. I choose, I want that school, and I don't want this one. And I think more money is wasted. I'm just saying this anecdotally. I think we probably have more money than what we require for the national school. The problem is the value for money. I'm not convinced that taxpayers are getting value for money, because some of these learners are transferred from a point where there's a school to somewhere else. Let's take for example, learners who are transported from Soweto where schools are empty. You know how many schools are empty there? And they are transported to Randburg and other areas where schools are overflowed. I'm just giving an example. And it's a problem that I am also sitting with to make sure that schools that are in Soweto provide the same quality of education as schools in Rwanda. That's the reality. So until we resolve that, I think the issue of learner transport will continue to be with us. This split module, when we presented the result of the class of 2019, the president was very impressed. The district model could also be a unit of analysis to help you on the progress that you are making, at least in education. How many districts are now performing at 70% and above to gauge the quality of support that your districts are providing to teachers and learners? And just to give an example, and maybe it's a coincidence, but it's a very interesting coincidence. Ever since Eastern Cape moved from 23 districts to now 12 districts, their results have been improving phenomenally. Which means consolidating their districts seems to be contributing to improving their performance. And I mean, for the last 2 years, they've been the highest improvement of hierarchy. In 2017, they were second to KZN, which improved by 6.4. My sense is that consolidating their district and getting, I mean, if you look at the improvement of one district to the other, it shows that the district model is working there from an education point of view. From a local government point of view, that remains a question. I'm not an expert there, but I think I understand what cabinet and the president are saying to say, let us invest on districts to support the local structures of local government, which are not working, and we all know that. But from an education point of view, the district model, I think, is probably the best thing that's ever happened. Minister and Deputy Minister meet with district directors every quarter to give them the line of march to gauge progress. Maybe that's why the improvement that we've been with the Honorable Machesi, the issue of the application fee, I've raised it with Advocate Malakwani, who is the Superintendent General there. He was not surprised, but what surprised him is that they picked it up somewhere and they moved into those areas and they told schools to stop. And when I shared the information that he shared with me, he promised to deal with it immediately. I'll follow up and come back to you. but he was not surprised that it happened because they picked it up somewhere. So what you are saying indeed is taking place and it's illegal. They are not supposed to be charging an application fee. It's illegal. Because it's an access issue. They impede access into schools. Well, what Dr. Taylor was trying to explain about the 89,000 versus 500,000 was that the 500,000 was wrong. It was 500,000, not 1.5. It was 500,000 that are. What is familiar to me for all these years, it's been 500,000. Is that correct?
That's the wrong thing.
That's what I'm saying. Yeah, honorable member, this is 1.5. I'm saying it's 500,000. It's 500,000 that is erroneous, which they've now established that it's an erroneous figure. The correct figure is 89,000, which they've been able to establish in the system. And it doesn't mean that we don't have the figure. The right figure is now this one that they've verified, which is the figure that we'll work with. The difficulty is that we don't actually collect this data. It's collected by SSK. Because it's based, it's household data collected by census. I was just trying to defend the technical report that I presented in your presence, honorable member, which had the number of learners who wrote for the NSC class and those who met them. We always provide that data. Those who, in fact, we start by saying, those who enrolled, those who wrote, and those who passed. That's how we provide data for the NSC. So, and I want to accept the minister that we are not where we should be, but we have moved leaps and bounds from where we used to be in terms of where we are now. And I fully agree with Honorable Machesi to say, no, the maximum number that the school is able to take is determined by the capacity of the school. The policy will say the capacity of the school determines the number of learners that can be taken in a school. That's the policy, which I assume worldwide that should be the policy. It's the facility that determines the number of learners that you can take. Well, in a few instances, I do feel that in the majority of instances, the former Modiki schools are spared, especially in the Western Cape. They are spared. If you go to townships, they've long gone beyond that. I mean, the classes are overflowing. And I don't blame the Western Cape. I blame all of us. We need to do something. I mean, if you don't have enough space, we must learn to share parking facilities in particular. But some schools, especially in the Western Cape, tend to stand their ground with issues of capacity. Understandably so, in some instances, are safety issues. But are safety concerns more important in other areas than in others? That's the question. So, but let me just leave it there. And if there's space to expand, we can expand. But some people will give you all kinds of reasons under the sun why the available space should not be used. They will tell you about extramural activities, prioritizing extramural activities over space for promotion. Honorable Masharella, well, what we have in terms of ECD, and Dr. Whittle is here, and probably even Ms. Kaya can assist here. We've been, if an ECD practitioner is qualified with REQV 13, then you are paid like all other teachers. The variances are instances where they are not qualified. They are paid what is called a stipend. And I know that Gauteng used to pay the highest. If they are not still paying the highest, then other provinces just take tried to regulate that. At some point they were paying about 1,000 per month. We moved it to about 5,000. At some point we said, minimum, you can't go below 5,000. If we have to revisit that, maybe we might have to go back and check so that people do not necessarily end what is going to be a slave wage, as Honorable Marshall was saying. I've spoken to the issue of the security of the equipment. It is a problem. The problem in all the 9 provinces. Mobile classrooms, to the best of my knowledge, they are not rented. You buy them. You buy them. And we had a brief discussion with Honorable Mashavela last night on our way here to Cape Town. And she promised to give me some details around a school that she was very unhappy about, which had these mobile classrooms for over 12 years in there. And she was concerned about the durability of mobile classrooms. And she promised to give me details so that we follow up. And then, addressing sanitation in schools, we have a plan in terms of safe, and David will give more figures. Money is there, allocated, and agreeing again, I think it's Honorable Van der Waal. One of our major challenges is the ability of implementing agents to deliver projects on time. That we will not hesitate to confirm from your side. We have a problem. And in the presentation that was made here, we indicated that we have not allocated to some the usual, I didn't want to call them that. Maybe let me say culprits. Your IDT, your KUHA, you've not allocated anything. Because we still have projects dating back to 5 years or even more years that are still not completed. If we get the impression that you are unable to complete your project on time, we don't allocate any project to you. The difficulty is that then the projects are going to pile on a few implementing agents. That's why I encourage you that in your lifetime, somewhere, when you retire from Parliament, you must consider to be reincarnated as a very good implementing agent to come and help us. CM priorities, Honorable Tembekwa, I wasn't sure whether to say Dr. Honorable Tembekwa. Because last time you were interviewed both, you can have the benefit of both. There is no contradiction, Honorable Tembekwa. What slides 44 and 45 are saying are clarifying the point that I made earlier, that the intention is RRR, that we would like to locate to primary schools or satellite of primary schools. But the rest will remain within community centers. And that's what maybe we're too elaborate or too verbose, if you like. And then we created confusion by being just too elaborate. But that's really the intention, and Dr. Maboya can help if there's a need to do so. The infrastructure development plan, we're looking for an infrastructure development for the whole sector. Because it's been a long time that we had such a plan, so we need to revamp that plan. We are even thinking about, Minister referred to it as a sandbar for education, an agency for infrastructure in education, which will coordinate the whole of infrastructure. By just pressing the button, you'll be able to know which projects are innovation where and when, and what the cost of that. The whole sector, 9 provinces plus the National Department of Education. So, Honorable Tembeko, I've addressed the issue of relooking at the model of implementing agents. If you don't perform, you don't allocate projects, unfortunately. Yes. And they know that. They are very unhappy. Are we ready to change them? Yeah. So we changed them already. It's water under the bridge. challenges about payment of assets, I've indicated that the explanation relates to that. Because government doesn't insure assets, then there's a challenge of assets that are lost, either cars that are being rented, then you have to pay, because it's not cost effective for government to insure. But the rate at which we're losing this car, I'm not sure whether we could do a benchmark, check whether in education and the rate at which we even support provinces and districts is the same as other departments, we're losing more money than cars. And again, it's an issue again, Deputy Minister, on reporting probably virtually every detail, which you are encouraged to do all the time, and I'm not saying we're going to hide it from you. But sometimes it gets us into trouble because we over-report. But there is no one who stolen money who would still be the person. Let it be very clear. And theft would refer to, for instance, my car got broken into three months ago. They broke the window, the rear window of my vehicle. They took my bag. In that bag, there was a laptop, iPad, which belongs to the department. I lost my ID, I lost my passport, and everything that was in there. That's the theft that we are talking about. Not employees. But you have to go to the nearest police station and then report the case. And accept it when it comes to Honorable Adun's report on oversight visits, thank you for saying it's going to come to your committee, so we'll deal with that. Limpopo, yeah. And then thank you. It's very rare that when we have tried and we push performance to 81.3, that we get recognized. So I want to thank all honorable members for recognizing this, including the National Teaching Award, who are the people in the business class to recognize them. And thank you for coming also for supporting us for that. Improvement, yes, Honorable Adun has indicated that the improvement is better than last year. Is absolutely, you are spot on there. What is action plan? I don't want to put my car before the home. We are trying to make sure that the last findings do not come there. But the nature of audit, every audit cycle, they might not necessarily focus on what the fixed at last time. They change every year. So we have to make sure that everything is clean from what they picked up and what they might have not picked. And the last one is the last area was issues raised by a chair. Contribution to creating employment, I've already responded to that, Honorable Chair, in your absence. The Bella Bill, there's still consultation. Deputy Minister and Minister are meeting with stakeholders as early as a week or two ago, the unions and so on. So it's a long process. And given the extent of the amendment in the Bella Bill as well, so it's going to take a while. But I think at the appropriate moment, when there's a need to brief the committee, Deputy Minister, I think will be more than willing to come and brief the committee, even on the latest. And then program two, it could be that the majority of the targets are actually annual targets, because that program relates to teaching and learning. It could well be that the fact that four have been achieved out of 11, the rest are, but if it's annual targets, then it means the academic year should have been, which is the third quarter of the financial year. Let me leave it for Dr. Maboya to explain, Chair. So, because I might actually complicate the issue. The last but one is around 71% of quarter three is indicators, not financial performance. Financial performance, let me know, I think we are far over that from my take. It's just to indicate that in terms of the indicators, we are more. Let me also say, there are changes in the annual targets. There are more quarterly targets now in this year under review for payroll, more for tax target than the financial. Financial tax, I mean annual target, I think they changed from 70 to 56, and then it increased the number of quarterly targets. But nonetheless, if you compare that, as Honorable Adunz indicated, our performance so far still indicates that we're doing very well. Donation of the rural education area, I think it came from the EU, Dr. Mapoya, the 50 million. Came from the EU and it covered KZN, Eastern Cape, and Limpopo. Those three rural provinces covered those three provinces. If there's a need to come and provide more information, I think colleagues can help me with those.
I think most of the questions that relate to my grant or the my program have been responded to. Maybe just to provide clarity on the indicators, the report on the indicators. So the report was just on the planned target for the third quarter. And in which case we are only looking at six indicators, or six indicators that they are targeting. And out of the six, then we were able to achieve the four, and then partially achieve one, and did not achieve one. So it looks like it's four out of seven. It's actually four out of six. Oh, yeah, the quarterly one. So the report is not cumulative. It only speaks to
the level of the year. Then can we just request to step on the best thing then to provide the details of the cluster?
You want a projector?
It was projecting just now, last time.
Just
speak to him.
Super
lazy.
Okay. Today,
did you introduce Dr. Russell as the expert on sex education? That may be sensitive in the social environment, but in the area, all the problems of infrastructure is also very sensitive. So I think it was also. I think one of the comments that I quickly want to make is just in terms of the infrastructure, we're dealing with 23,000 schools, and sometimes we get lost in the detail because these schools are all over the country, all over the places. So we have a database of schools and facilities at the schools that is what is called NIMS, the National Education Infrastructure Management System. I'm not aware of any other comprehensive data set. So that's an important starting point. I think people like Amnesty International, they are coming to trial with ER information. So they are quoting some outdated report most probably. They haven't done an assessment of the infrastructure. They're making use of the information. So they're coming to fight with you with your own data. We know a lot of those things. So if the other more members have got information that is different from what we have, we would love any input to schedule any of. We need to work with one answer of the truth. So we just go back slightly in history from 1994-95 when we became one country. One of the critical infrastructure issues was the bucket eradication. Now there were like 400 schools with bucket toilets, and it was degrading, and there was a big move. Well, I can say there's no bucket. If anybody is aware of the school which is dependent on buckets, please let me know. I believe there's none. Then if you look at electricity, In 96, the estimate was 15,000. That's about half of all the schools had no electricity. At the moment, there are none. And if you are aware of any schools that got no electricity, you must please let me know. If you look at water supply in 96, the estimate was almost 9,000 schools had no water supply. Lakin, no. No water supply. We are down to the last couple of schools that we deal with under our city program. When we come to March next year, March 2021, under our city, we're going to kill all of us. And every school will have water. It may not be sufficient water for waterborne sanitation. It will be sufficient water for drinking purposes. I think that's a very important concept. The school that has got water means that the people can drink water.
Mm-hmm.
Now, you need to drink maybe 1 liter while you're attending school. Drink a lot of water. But the moment you connect that to a sewer system, you will flush 5 liters per round. We cannot do that. We cannot do that. If you look at no toilets, when the assessment was done in 96, there were almost 3,500 schools with no toilets. But you go to the city. So that we have made a significant impact on that, and we are now at the space where we want under a city by March next year, there should be none of those schools with no toilets. And that brings us to, and if any of the honourable members are aware of schools that are still out there with no toilets, please send me a mail, give me the information we need to deal with. Part of the, there was a comment about urbanisation. A lot of these backlogs are in those deep rural schools. You go to the Eastern Capes, the KZN, the Limpopos, some in Mpumalanga. We had a couple of farm schools in the Free State also were in poor condition. Now through rationalization but also through urbanization, a lot of those schools become guerrilla. So we also need to be careful to work with other data. So we need to work with the dynamics of where we go. The crisis that we sit with at the moment in terms of infrastructure is that if the schools have got sanitation, a lot of schools are still dependent on standard fitness, the standard, I'm calling long grass. That was estimated to be very close to 4,000, 3,898 to be the exact figure that was lost. So those schools have now, we've got the list of those schools. That was done in collaboration with the provinces, 3,898. And there's a big problem, because that's where the trouble is from. That's where the key lost their lives. So under that, we are implementing a multi-pronged approach. So the provinces are getting involved through the EIG and DFT Connect with Shares. They are driving, doing some of that education. From our own projects, we have got two programs under the national department, which is the ICD and the site, dealing with those. Let me just give you some of the numbers of where we are at the moment. Under the provincial programs, I checked the provincial list for the current financial year. They've got 2,393 projects aimed at sanitation at schools, provincial projects. Of that, 692 has already reached practical completion. If you look at a city, there are four programs on a city. I think one of the colleagues asked for, one of the members asked for information about a city. We have inappropriate structures, which were aimed at dealing with mostly the mud schools at the Eastern Cape. There was some Plunky School in Western Cape. There were some other Jack schools, David and whatever. 367 schools were identified that had to be replaced. Of that 367, 234 done. Practical completion. Which includes brand new school, brand new sanitation, brand new water supply. Then there were schools under a city dealing only with a provision of basic sanitation. 1,042 schools, of that 854 already reached practical completion. Then on electricity, and maybe there's a piece of good news here, we had 312 schools at the beginning of the city earmarked for electrification. And we had brilliant cooperation from Eskom. They done. All of us. So maybe we'll get the team from Eskom to work on other Eskom. Then we have the program which was brand name SAFE. So SAFE is a fresh program. I think the DG elaborated that it was launched and there was a bit of a delay in getting the funding. So some of the private sector partners became involved. If I just put it off the cuff, Asupol, Unilever, Lonman, I think the doctor school are coming up and they have provided some. So at the moment, 266 of these schools have been completed. If we look at, just in summary, what are the critical issues that we're still battling with in infrastructure? And I think we need to work together. The first one is the reliability information. We need to know all these things. I think it is impossible for us to have all the information all the time. We said we've got this NIMS, which is the National Education Infrastructure Management System. It's a system that was developed in 2006-2007. There's been a reasonable update around about 2013-14. Some provinces have done some recent updates. We are desperate to get that information. If provinces have done an update of the NIMS information, please forward it to us. Because the more reliable our information, the more we can deal with it.
Sorry, I'm
going
to interrupt. Is that the NIMS 2019 that was released June last year?
I'm not reading from the NIMS 2019 stats will be part of the progress that I've reported on. So we are, I think Western Cape is one of the provinces that did some update of the NIMS data of assessment. We are desperate to get that assessment. And all the provinces, I think Mpumalanga also was very active on that. So anybody that's got it, please feed it. So we need one version of it. The second thing is we can only do what we can do in terms of the money available. DG announced that we have managed to get money allocated for this project. About 2.7 billion allocated over the next 2 years. We need to wrap up ASIN by March next year. We need to wrap up SAFE by March the following year, 2022. One of the critical questions that also came out in the discussion is the implementing agent. We need to understand that the need for implementing agents came as a result of the let's call it the failure of public works departments doing their job. If public works departments were doing their job, we didn't need implementing agents. I think that's the catch 22 that we need to deal with. From our side, we're putting tremendous pressure on the implementing agents. They hate our guts because we're taking them to task and we may even sue some of them. We also get to a point where the capacity of contractors become an issue. We have got many instances where contractors were appointed to do these jobs and then they fail and they had to be fired. That is a problem. So we are going to engage with the CIDB in terms of the training of contractors and also in terms of the feedback of failing contractors. If the guy fails, we need to report him there, he must be downgraded. Then we need to just mention the interference on construction projects. There are several projects where, and I can specifically say in the Eastern Cape KZN to a lesser extent in Limpopo, where after we've appointed the contractor, there were some local lobby groups that then arrive on site, some more aggressive than others, insisting and disrupting and whatever. In some of those cases, DGA didn't go down. I think Minister, Deputy Minister, I think were involved in trying to get the peace. But we need to work with that environment differently. Thank you.
Certainly consider extending. We've announced already that we're continuing with the pilots over the course of the year
prepare for the lesson for the new board. So here we can do that formally.
Dan, are you done? You don't have anything to say? I think that's the point.
Yeah, Chair, I can respond to that. Except on one issue of the leadership in the Popo, which we'll discuss with the next week, and the one for scholar transport classes. We don't have a uniform policy for all the provinces. It's one that will look at also in the street, and because it is so true that, but what you must know that provinces are also functioning, so they make their own decisions and their own policies. We cannot necessarily interfere, but we'll bring them so that we're closer. But DTA, I think, explained on the schools of choice is that one, the government is not obliged to offer scholar transport or school of choice. But on the new whatever in Gauteng, it again creates more confusion on scholar transport, because if I live in Randfontein and my child is placed in Sandton, it means because government has placed my child far from where I live, which government must provide. And I think that we're still going to relook at the CSA.
Thank you very much. Can I, anything is that then not this one? Can I allow you to leave in 2 minutes quickly? So that you can adopt the message.